We are at the beginning of September, and on September 1st itself, Doug and I were talking about the fact that for many of us, September 1st is a bigger moment than January 1st, simply representing all of the hopes and dreams for school back together, for new seasons, and for the many things like that happen, and yes, for concerts, and yes, especially for the Spokane Symphony. So here we have James Lowe. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Vern.
And you are back and breathless and just barely here, kind of, to do this really fun, busy weekend. What was your travel plan? Have you seriously just kind of been in the planes for the last couple of days?
No, it was okay. So I got in Wednesday night. I had a long layover in Seattle, but, you know, that's fine. I know the bars in Seattle Airport quite well now.
Perfect. Okay, well, let's launch into the two interesting events, and in a bit we'll talk about that wonderful series that's by now 45 years old of the Labor Day concerts. But there's a unique thing happening today, and that is another celebration, and that's the birthday on this very date, September 3rd, of the Fox Theater. And I know we've talked about this before, but simply talk about the Fox Theater in your knowing about this job, auditioning for this job, getting this job, being here, and beyond.
Well, you know, when I first came here, obviously I did my research and knew about the Fox, but you know, walking out on that stage for the first time, it really took my breath away, and I think it still does. You know, I was just in there this morning. It was all very quiet. There's hardly anybody around, and you just look up at the ceiling and you see these incredible Art Deco works. It's like being on some kind of luxury cruise liner from the 30s. It always reminds me of like crossing the Atlantic on the Queen Mary or something. So it's such a special place. And you know, most orchestras don't have the luxury of their own concert hall. They certainly don't have the luxury of a concert hall that's so beautiful. And so for me, you know, this is the orchestra's own instrument, I think, the hall. You know, we have a symbiotic relationship with it. The musicians know it really, really well, and I'm loving my time here. You know, the more concerts I do there, the better I get to know it too.
And some people say the conductor has the best seat in the house, but maybe you do, and maybe you don't, because you, of course, hear it more from the conductor's podium than we in the audience. But I assume you've had a little bit of experience from encountering the sound from the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's a really important thing. The conductor does actually go out and listen from in the hall, because you do, in really every concert hall, you get a slightly false sense of balance when you're standing up there, because, you know, the strings are right in front of your nose. You're going to hear them stronger than the winds. And so it's a great spot where I stand, but you've always got to bear in mind how it's going to sound from the hall. So, yeah, I've spent quite a lot of time out listening to other gigs and concerts with the orchestra to get a real feel for how what I hear, where I stand, translates out into the body.
And for me, that's been just profound. And this is a thing that I shouldn't really admit in public. But even if at a certain moment I'm not engaged in what the music is doing, I'm always engaged in what the sound I'm getting is. That always feeds me, the sound of the orchestra in that hall.
Yeah, and like I say, you know, what I love when you have an orchestra that does rehearse all its rehearsals in the same place where it performs, you start to get the symbiotic relationship. You know, the musicians start to really feel, and they know exactly where they're sitting on the stage, how something's going to translate out, and it really does become this wonderful two-way relationship that is very special. And I think, you know, you can only feel that if you played an orchestra for quite a while in the same hall, and it's such a rarity now that we get to enjoy that.
And how did that translate last spring when you put together that six-concert series of recordings that you did on the stage? How did that work out?
Well, that was wonderful because, you know, one of the things we could do that you can't normally do is, you know, the hall kind of became part of the series. You know, the hall became another character in it, you know, and I think when you're At a concert, of course, you're concentrating on musicians on stage. You can look around. But what I think Don Hamilton and Hamilton Studio did brilliantly was actually really incorporate the atmosphere of the hall into the films they made. And, you know, we wanted to do something a little bit different because I always think, you know, that there's this really important relationship between composer, musicians, and audience. And it's not a passive thing. You know, it's just sitting watching a concert. We really feel when the audience sitting behind us or in front of us are engaged. So I can't wait to have live audiences back, but I'm so proud of the work we did in the spring under some really, really difficult conditions. I mean, the orchestra did an amazing job, and Hamilton Studio did really wonders.
And the Fox is celebrating its 90th birthday precisely today with a whole series of events and things going on, and that's between noon and 4 o'clock, so that's why we're on to bring it out, just a free event to show up and enjoy that. What are two or three of the things that are going to be going on there?
Well, Jim Kirshner, of course, wrote his fantastic History of the Symphony, which is a really, really excellent book. He's going to be there signing copies of that for people. You can wander around the hall and take as much time as you like. You know, normally if it's a crowded gig, you don't get to stare at the turtles and see all these little details. So you can really, really drink it all in. We'll be playing the spring series, the Overton series that I just mentioned is going to be running in the hall all afternoon. And of course, we've got to have a birthday cake. So we've got a birthday cake, and it's just a nice little celebration for the old girl.
So that's a really great way to kind of get in the mood, and so that is the Fox's celebration, free today from noon until 4 o'clock. Okay, now let's jump into the. I kept having to update the date, but it is. It seems to me if it started in, 1986. No, I'm getting confused of the beginning of the Labor Day concerts. Yeah, 1986.
It is. I'm actually looking right now in the office. I'm sitting. I'm looking at the poster for the very first Labor Day concert at Comstock.
So that's 35 years of the Comstock Park concert. And then a few years later, 20 years ago, began the Liberty Lake series. When you have those opportunities to have a really broad-based audience, you're going to assume a good percentage of them have a general sense of an orchestra and an orchestra concert and its repertoire. Some are going to be totally new to it. Some are going to be the hardened concert goers that know every tune and wonder why you're playing that old simplistic tune. And that sort of thing. So you get to program broadly. But I guess talk about the gleeful sense you have in thinking of the whole world of music that you get to represent, that then you have to narrow down a program from.
Well, it's gleeful and also terrifying. You know, like Stravinsky said, there's nothing more terrifying than a blank piece of manuscript paper. But the way I kind of think of it is a little bit like we want it to be like a trailer you'd see in the movie theater for what's coming up that season in the theater. So we play some kind of classical repertoire that's representative of what you'll get in our Masterwork series. We'll play something that represents something from our movies. And of course, we've got to end with 1812 because you have to end with a bang. But it's like, I think it's a little, as I say, it's like a little taster so people can drop in and, you know, maybe just happen across this gig and not heard the symphony before and suddenly find something they like and come along to a concert. And it's also just a lovely little gift from the symphony to the people of Spokane. And, you know, right now we are so lucky that they've supported us so well through the pandemic era and we're still here that I think there's going to be a lovely, real festive atmosphere.
There's a chance that I misspoke because for those 35 years we've called it the Comstock Park Concert, and no, there's a lot of construction and repair going in Comstock Park, so the concert is at the Pavilion, which, as was noted in the newspaper article, that was your first introduction to Spokane, wasn't it? That downtown, new downtown Pavilion, because you dedicated it, didn't you?
That was right. So, yeah, we wetted the baby's head, as it were. My first gig as music director was at Riverfront Park at the opening ceremony of the Pavilion, which was a wonderful thing, a wonderful honor to be there. And it's so nice to go back. And as you say, you know, Comstock is being redug and replanted right now, but you know, the pavilion is such an amazing space. I think, of course, everybody knows it, and I love that it's right in the middle of town, so people wandering by can just get to hear the symphony.
And then that will there be fireworks, or in the drought, will there not be fireworks?
Do you know, I honestly don't know. I probably would think not, but...
I would guess not, too. I haven't seen them advertised, so I'll bet there won't be.
Yeah. No, sadly, and even if they were, I'm not the one that gets to press that button, which is a real shame.
Yeah, that would be a shame. Anyway, and then I guess we should say, because this question is so vital, Earl, about the issue of the distancing and the safety, and so I have that right here, what the rules are going to be. While it is a free concert, there is a certain ticket that is required to get in, and that's the proof of vaccination. So the entry requirement to that concert, and we're talking about the at this point, the Monday 6 p.m. concert at the Pavilion, will be a vaccine card or in any form on your cell phone or in any reliable form of the proof of the vaccination or a proof of a COVID test within 72 hours of the concert.
That's correct.
And then furthermore, beyond that, the usual carefulness that children are asked to stay just close with their families, and then families can kind of group. And that is a great thing about the Pavilion, because with all those grassy areas and many choices, one can kind of find the place to have one's own nest to that. And then also children are being asked to wear masks for the entire event. And then I think some of us goes without saying that many of us are finding that simply getting reused to wearing masks just any time we're with a bunch of people is just what the world is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, it's interesting traveling around a little bit and seeing how things are different everywhere. But it really is pretty much everywhere you go now in the UK, here, Seattle, everywhere I've been in the last while. Even I used to get out to Bulgaria to do some work earlier in the year, which was amazing. But everybody's masked. It's just the way, it's just the new normal right now.
Yeah, and so while that isn't listed as a specific requirement, it's always the suggestion. And I do need to tell you that the rules of these, the rules like the rule for the Monday night Pavilion concert, are rules of the venue. And the Liberty Lake concert on Saturday at 6 at Pavilion Park does not have that same set of requirements. But again, it has certainly the sense of the good sense of the masks and the distance and the carefulness in the Pavilion Park concert. Because that's new to you. You have not done this unique concert, have you?
No, I haven't. So the very first year I was appointed as music director, I got the job, I think, in June. And so I already had things I couldn't cancel, so I had to do those. And then my first was supposed to be last year. And, of course, then COVID came and canceled everything. Mm-hmm. So it's been this little thing that's just receding out of my grasp for the last couple of years. So I'm really excited to get on stage and enjoy them. And, you know, I so enjoyed the Riverfront Park a couple of years ago that I think it's going to be a great fun.
And so that's the overview of these two concerts. And let me reiterate, it's Saturday at 6 at Pavilion Park in, is that the name of it? Yeah, Pavilion. So we're
right, yeah.
Pavilion Park.
Liberty Lake.
Pavilion
yeah.
Park, yeah. And then Monday, Labor Day at 6 at the Pavilion at Riverfront Park with James Lowe. And then James will be greeting you again a week from Monday, the 13th, as we begin Symphony Week. And you kick off not only that week of celebration, but then your two opening concerts, which I believe are the 18th and 19th of September. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you then. Have a fabulous time. I guess the final thing that's been commented, this will be the first time you have the whole orchestra in front of you, won't it?
It is since, when was the last time? February, March of last year. was the last time I think we were all together on stage. So this is really, this is a, another kind of milestone moment in the recovery of the organization. And I just can't wait to see all their, well, I was going to say I can't wait to see all their faces. I won't see most of their faces because they'll be wearing masks. But I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, the bit above the nose.
All of the great meaningful ways to communicate with eyes that we've learned.
Absolutely, yeah. So I haven't winked so much in years.
There you go. James Lowe, again, have a great time, and thank you for being with me.
Thanks, Lynn.